It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, 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 Thunderstruck here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA, beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, where we focus a lot on economics. And one of the places that we get a lot of good stuff is, and we'll have Lou Rockwell come in on the show here now, first chance we get. We have a scheduling problem today, but what we'll go ahead and do is I wanted to do the show that I kind of wanted to do with him anyway. And we'll get into more personal. Then that gets that to the side, and he and I can talk about some personal stuff but with you guys, and it'll be an even better show. But I wanted to get you some information. Ludwig von Mises Institute. The Mises Institute is a Lou Rockwell is part of getting that going and started. He was the chief of staff, I think it was chief of staff, for the congressional office for Ron Paul in the late 70s, early 80s. So he's been connected with that. You know, that's why a lot of columns that are written by Ron Paul appear on LouRockwell.com. And we put stuff up on Freedom's Phoenix that, you know, today on LouRockwell.com. Because, you know, I could sit there and I go, you know, I want that one and that one. And that gets like a dozen a day, really good ones. And of course, archives and so on. But I go, there's 3, 4 out of 12 that I want to put on Freedom's Phoenix and share with you guys anyway. I'm like, screw it, man. I just put the whole page. I go, here's what's on today. You know, yep, save me time, and it's easier for it and better for you, and anyway. So, and they do a great job. Now, the Mises Institute, behind it, they have a saying. It's in Latin. I'm not going to try and butcher the Latin. But what it says is, do not give in to evil, but proceed ever more boldly against it. Ever more boldly against it. There are people out there fighting for your freedom at many different levels. And I'll tell you the most effective one. It's not trying to convince the bad guys not to be bad. They're bad. It's like, you know, the story of the, you know, the fox and the alligator. You guys ever hear that fable? Fox is on the shore of, I'll make it real quick. Fox is on the shore of a little stream. He wants to get to the other side. Alligator comes up and he says, hey, hop on my back. I'll take you across. He goes, but you're an alligator. You'll even, no, I'll pinky swear. Promise. I would never do that. No. So he convinces the fox to get on his back. And the alligator kind of starts getting deeper in the water then. He's like, oh, I'll just move up to my head. You know, and that fox moves up and he gets lower and lower. He's on his snout. And then the alligator just, you know, boom. And eats, you know, grabs and bites him, and he's got him by his body. And the fox says, well, why are you eating me? You said you're, he goes, because I'm an alligator. You know, duh. You know, this is what happens. This is, you know, why are you taking all my money, government? Because I'm a government. What'd you think was going to happen? Quit getting on the government's back to try and, you know, I'm on the government. I'm a cheerleader. I'm going to give the perfect cheer for my government that's standing underneath me while, you know, they keep putting you up and up further and further on the snout. And then, boom, you're done. You know, they just, you know, ripping the last piece of flesh off the whale's backbone. You know, the carcass out there, and it's a feeding frenzy. You know, well, get away from it. If only in your mind. So you can get a perspective on what to do. We'll keep talking about it. We'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're just trying to get a perspective today. You know, and I find such a great resource. I'm really going to tout him today. Is LewRockwell.com, L-E-W, L-E-W-Rockwell.com. Because Lou has a perspective that, you know, we all have our various perspectives. You know, I've written a couple articles for Lou Rockwell before we did Freedom's Phoenix. And then, of course, I'm, you know, kind of, I don't really see it as competition, but we're a different kind of site. And we feed off each other. You know, certainly they fed off of the Levolution. I can guarantee you that. I mean, they got a lot of goodie out of that one. But the thing that I get from it is a view from an economic perspective, from a perspective of making sure that we look at our lives, our social and economic lives through a lens of the economy. Through the lens of a philosophy as it pertains to what we get to do with our property. See, there are social freedoms, you know, civil liberties that, you know, how we are treated by the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-intrusive government. You know, are they there to protect our ability to do what we want with our lives ourselves? So I am looking for an opportunity to also look at our property. You know, what we do with our body, that's our property. You know, but I need to do something with my real property, my the stuff that I get, the stuff that I make, the stuff that I got. That is economics. That is the government coming in and telling me what I can do with my stuff that my life and liberty has produced. So I'm like, okay, all right. So how are we going to do this? More than 40% of those employed in the United States are now working at low-wage service jobs. According to one new survey, 24% of American workers say that they have postponed their planned retirement age in the past year. Over 1.4 million Americans filed for personal bankruptcy in 2009, which represented a 32% increase over 2008. 32% increase in Americans that have filed for personal bankruptcy. Not only that, more Americans filed for bankruptcy in March 2010 than during any month since U.S. bankruptcy law was tightened in October 2005. Do you guys remember what happened then? You know, U.S. bankruptcy laws, they kind of, well, we knew it was coming. I mean, we did it on the radio. We were making a big deal. We're going, yeah, they know what's coming. Damn Skippy, they do. Because they have a situation to where people were starting to really crank up all of this debt with credit cards. It was like it was on purpose. They created an enormous debt. They created an enormous opportunity for you to go into debt. They wanted you to. They knew you weren't going to be able to pay it back. So what did they do? They wanted to make sure they got you later. They didn't want you to be able to wipe it clean. They wanted to change the bankruptcy laws and so because they knew it was going to happen. You know, this is baked into the cake. So now what did we see? A couple weeks ago, well, it was last week, we had on Freedom's Phoenix. They're going to start bringing back debtors' prisons. It is going to become a crime for you to be in debt and not be able to pay back your debts. Not only just liens and so on, there will be actual jail time that they'll start doing. This is, we're going back to the olden days. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's going to get ugly. Oh, revolution material. That's just how it is. Mortgage purchase applications in the United States are down nearly 40% from a month ago. To their lowest level since April of 97. This is people that even, you know, trying to get a loan for a home. Well, I mean, it's not a surprise. It's just down 40% from a month ago. And this is at a time when the banks are ready to start dumping shadow inventory that they've been holding because they've been threatened by the government with audit if they dump their real estate on the market now. This, I knew something was going on. I was like, you know, when we talked about it on the show, I'm going, there is no way they're going to liquidate all this inventory that they have. Sure as heck not before the end of this fiscal year. They are definitely not going to want a closing of all the stuff that they have to reset the mark to market, you know, their inventory they have on their books, that they, all this inventory that they have listed at $250,000 a house down to $80,000 a house. They sure as sure as crap are not going to be selling this stuff now and then have to revalue all their inventory and they go out of business, be bankrupt, done. Certainly not until at least in the next fiscal year, starting in July. And I'll bet there's some, you know, shiny badge, uniformed, always available gun government agent man that's wanting them to at least wait until after the election in November. Heck, even in the next year. It's always delay it one more election cycle. This is going to get, it's already getting, it's done. There, we're, you know, bang. 40% less than just from a month ago. All right, RealtyTrack has announced that foreclosure filings in the U.S. established an all-time record for the second consecutive year in 2009. You know, they're looking back, okay, what's the record here? We got, you know, how many foreclosure filings? And they have not even been doing the filings that they need to, or certainly have the capacity to. People aren't paying their mortgages for months. You know, I had a woman call me yesterday. She left a message, and I called her back. She's in San Diego, and they do these, you know, mortgage classes and so on. And she's like, how do I get the word out? We got this guy. We've got all this information. We're helping people, whatever. And I helped her. You probably saw it on Freedom's Phoenix last night. I said, yeah, we'll just post it. Here, reported. Go to this page there. It's in San Diego, 50 miles north. Boom, done. There you go. Done. Cool. Thanks. And they send it out to all their people. And, it, you know, it was a real popular entry. There's a meeting 50 miles north of San Diego talking about how to, you know, save your house or stay in it for longer or, you know, check for the fraud of the banks and this and that, whatever. I'm go. I don't care. You know, whatever. More information, the better. Challenging the man. But, you know, it's coming down to what people are doing is they're, you know, they're not going to live up to their deal. And that's a, you know, moral hazard right there. I got people that are just like, I can't believe that people will not pay. I'm going, you don't understand. They can't. It's done. Now, of course, they'll go into the law and they look at it and it says, oh, if the lending institution did this, 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 and this, then the contract is null and void. It's done. There's even parts in there you even get to keep the house. Well, it went already to the Ninth Circuit and they go, yeah, that law, you know, it's kind of the stop bad lending, you know, and predator lending thing. They go, you know, yeah, we're not going to enforce that one. Nope, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. No, no, of course it says that. We're just not going to enforce it. You know, I say, no, no, no. But, you know, people are still filing this stuff. All right, we'll see how it plays out. According to RealtyTrack, foreclosure filings were reported on 367,056 properties in March 2010, an increase of nearly 19% from February, an increase of nearly 8% from March 2009, and the highest monthly total since RealtyTrack began issuing its report in January of 2005. It's going up is the point. 367,000 properties in March, but they're not foreclosing as much as they can. You know, these are selective foreclosures. This is not, this is just the beginning. They haven't even got to the foreclosing because why? So they can get the people out so people can steal the copper wiring? Heck, they're better off having them stay in the house. This is what happens. It's happened here in the Valley before. I remember during the SNL scandal, during, you know, when the SNL, we thought that was a lot. Ooh, it was a couple $100 billion to bail that out. Heavens to Murgatroyd. What a lot of money. Heck, I ain't dropping the bucket now. So what they did is they had all these homes, you know, real estate was really in trouble in the early 90s here in Arizona. And the biggest problem, and this is from past experience that banks have learned, when you have an economic downturn like that, vacant houses are just full of value for somebody that has the moral standards of a thief, and they go in, they take it. just the wiring. They just pull it right out of the junction box and just pull all the wiring out through the ceiling. I mean, just, you know, here's all the wires in right here. Cut, grab, pull. Thank you very much. I just made $100, $200, whatever it is. They take light fixtures. They take the switches, the outlets, the sinks, the vanities, the toilets. All of this is just the air conditioner. That was a big thing, is air conditioner. Somebody's really got some skills. You know, they just come in with a crane. And, you know, what do you do? You know, it's a vacant house sitting there. You got guys pull up with a truck, and they're wearing a little reflective vest, and they just start taking air conditioner off. You're like, yeah, whatever. I mean, you know, who am I supposed to call? I'm going to complain to somebody? Why? It seems like they should be there. This happens. It's already started. They're better off not foreclosing and just leaving the people in there so that the house doesn't get destroyed. What happens when they really start foreclosure proceedings? Oh, we'll give you some numbers on that when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast.
Yeah, that's what you're going to be hearing because you're too po. And you're going to have, yeah, you think I'm kidding. And it's going to be, here comes the debtor's prison. You know why? Because that's all they know how to do. You know, it's always force. It's a hammer. I mean, government, if you got a hammer, okay, this force, this monopoly on force, all right, everything looks like a nail. And you're going to be a nail. Because they can. I may be going to my roots in Florida. I was born in Pasco County, Dade City, Florida. It's like 35 miles northeast of Tampa. You know, that's where my father grew up and that side of the family. And we moved out here in the early 70s to Arizona, where my mother is from. Well, in Pinellas and Pasco counties, all right, which includes, you know, St. Petersburg, Florida, and the suburbs to the north, all right? This is where I'm from. I can go back. I can go home. I can go buy me a cheap house because there are 34,000 open foreclosure cases. 34,000. And they're small counties. In Pasco County, I'll give you this. Arizona has, I think it's 14 counties. 14 counties in Arizona. You know how many counties there are in Florida? 67. Hey, we got all kinds of sheriffs. Everybody's got their county, you know. Well, the small counties, there are 67 counties in Florida. It's all gridded up. I mean, heck, a lot of cities are twice the size of counties there. Well, in those two counties, 34,000 open foreclosure cases. 10 years ago, there were only about 4,000. So this is, you know, I can go home. I'm going to go back to my dad. I'd rather not. I like it here. You know, I like dry. But the thing is that, you know, what does that mean for real estate prices there? 34,000 open foreclosure cases. You know, I imagine you call that shadow inventory. It's going to be on the market there pretty soon, not counting what's for sale and what's happened to Florida already. Oh, and we got this, you know, Gulf thing going on. In California Central Valley, one of every 16 homes is in some phase of foreclosure. One of every 16 homes. How many homes are on your street? How many streets are there in your neighborhood? This is wow. The Mortgage Bankers Association recently announced that more than 10% of all U.S. homeowners with a mortgage had missed at least one payment during the January to March time period. That was a record high and up from 9.1% a year ago. 10% have missed at least one payment during the first quarter. Excuse me. So this is, it's getting better. Green shoots. Only in the cracks of the driveways with weeds on the foreclosed homes. That's your green shoots. U.S. banks repossessed nearly 258,000 homes nationwide in the first quarter of 2010, a 35% jump from the first quarter of 2009, and not even a blip in the bucket. There are, on the weekends here, there are between, they've had up to 300 people. They had to go to a park. There are so many people. There's at least 80-plus people come here every weekend for one of the activists here. He's giving, you know, information. They're all sharing. They bring their mortgages, and they all just, you know, share their stories, and some are filing suit, and some are doing different things and going in the court. They're just clogging up the courts. They don't know what else to do. You know, they got resets coming, you know, different fees they didn't know. They didn't read the whole contract. They didn't know they got nailed at the signing desk. They got, you know, they're trying to, whatever the heck it is they're doing. But there's a bunch of people here every weekend. I'm going to, you know, come here and have their meetings, and dang. You know, we come by and I'm like, oh my goodness, where'd all these people come from? I figured they have 20, 30, 40 people is what they started off with. Now it's 3, 4, 5 times that many every weekend they're here. And this is just beginning. Wow. For the first time in U.S. history, banks own a greater share of residential housing net worth in the United States than all individual Americans put together. Let me read that again. For the first time in U.S. history, banks own a greater share of residential housing net worth in the United States than all individual Americans put together. You want to look at, you know, the property ownership, the net worth of all the housing, all the residential housing in this country, more value is owned by the banks than all the individuals put together. I in the definition of depression, you think that might be one of the criteria when the banks own more than the people? You think banks are in the real estate owning business? No, they're not. They would assume that not be the case. Wow. For more than 24% of all homes with mortgages in the United States were underwater as of 2009. More than 24% of all homes with mortgages are underwater. That's a lot. I mean, where's this list coming from? You know, this is, I got it from Freedom's Phoenix. And, you know, via Lou Rockwell. And it's put together by, you know, it doesn't even say. You know, this is, I'll get you who put this together. I thought it was Lou Rockwell, but they had put it from somewhere else. And I'm telling you, this is amazing information. It just gives you a snapshot of what a Great Depression looks like. This is what it looks like. Are you feeling it? Do you have it? You know, I'll open up the phones. 800-313-9443. I want to hear your story. 800-313-9443.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. But to be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
We're just going to get devaluated because they can. All right, here it comes. I did the music over Charles giving out the number. Let me go ahead and give that for you. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Let's go ahead and go to Don in Texas. Go ahead, Don. What you got to say, man?
Hey, I sort of disagree with you on the bank issue. You just said that the banks are not in the business of owning the homes, but I actually think they are.
They're in the business of owning the mortgage. They want the money. They don't want the house, or, you know, they want the money.
Well, in that case, that's true in that case. So basically what I was going to say is, yeah, because they loan us, you know, they loan us money out of thin air, and now they own real property, not to mention the larger banks, Chase and all the larger ones, are gobbling up the smaller banks who are trying to loan a little bit of money and stay good. But as the larger banks own them, then they acquire that property.
You know what there's two ways of looking at it. One of the big things is that having a mortgage, when they created these mortgages, these people that actually did the mortgage, they sold it as quickly as they could to somebody else or another bank. It was just like, you know, who's the next sucker? Because they got all their goodies up front. They got their points, they got, you know, whatever, and then they sold it to another bank, or and they bundled it and they chopped it up and called it a mortgage-backed security, and they did whatever. They made their money another way. Somebody finally got stuck. The musical chairs stopped, and somebody got stuck with this mortgage, okay? That's what part of the problem is. They're not really sure even who has it. Does the paper even exist? That's why they got so many problems. They don't even know who's left holding it. So, but let's assume that we get that all worked out. You got, okay, we got this one group of De La, whoever, a bank, an investment group, something, has the mortgage. They don't want the house. They got to sell it. They want the money. They want the revenue stream. The value of that home was not the home. It was only worth, you know, a couple hundred $100,000, but it's worth $400,000 with interest. Okay, it's the interest that they wanted. They wanted the revenue stream, and if people aren't paying their mortgage and giving them the revenue stream, well, then they're stuck with a house they got to deal with. So they're going, I don't want the house. I want somebody to pay me on a mortgage for this house. You see the difference? I got you there.
That is true. Yeah, that is true about the paper issue, is who actually owns it. I tell people to fight that all the time. If the house has been paid and dropped off 3 or 4 different times, who actually owns the paper? That's one issue. And then the other issue is somebody's owning real property out there. Somebody's going to make out with the real property when no one else is paying, and they own and they have the property. I mean, that property is actually going to be worth something, I think.
You know, let's look at it a couple of ways just from history. One, yeah, they have homes that they're trying to sell in Detroit for $1. Nobody's buying them. So, I mean, sometimes nobody wants them. That's just the way it is. The other thing you look at during the SNL scandal, what they had done a lot of times, instead of just putting individual homes out on the market, they didn't do that initially. What they do is they sell them in clumps to banks, go to banks, and they'll go, all right, Bank De La, you're going out of business, bank up and can't make your salaries or your bank manager kind of stuff. I tell you what we'll do. We will buy all of your assets here for pennies on the dollar, and then we will sell the, because we have enough money. We got enough TARP money. We got enough, you know, resources. We got enough backing. We're the ones that stole it from everybody to begin with. You know, we will go ahead and buy up all of these all these real assets, and then we will auction them off and sell them and make twice, three times as much money on them. You know, so you're right. Somebody's going to, sooner or later, somebody's going to get it, and they're going to get it at low, 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 rock bottom, rip you off price of. But when do we get the bid on it? Do we get to have that first bid? You know,
no.
We're not going to be the ones that get to go to these banks are in trouble and them start. In fact, that's exactly what we were talking about. My wife went to a continuing education real estate school thing last week, and I've been telling her my son and daughter-in-law are going out trying to buy a home, and they're starting to bid on these houses that are bank-owned, and they're, you know, half what they were, you know, like 2 years ago, thinking they're getting a deal. And I'm going, we haven't even seen the bulk of the inventory on the market. I already know that 2-3 years ago, at the peak of the real estate here in Arizona, 40% of the homes that were for sale were vacant. They were just speculation. What happens when you don't have any rent coming in? What happens when you don't have any revenue? What happens when you can't sell it again? It goes on the market. So what happens is now we have all the shadow inventory that the banks are holding because she was in this class, and I said, ask this question. Find out, why isn't this inventory being put out in the market? The reason was the federal government threatened the banks with audit if they did it. And they said, you know what? Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture, okay? We're just going to sit on this for a little bit while longer. Why? Well, one of the things, fiscal year coming starting in July, that might have something. I knew they weren't going to do anything until they started having closing dates in July, so they're now starting to loosen it up a little bit and starting to, you know, make offers or accepting offers on these homes. But the flood has not come. They're not foreclosing anymore. We have adjustable rate mortgages that are just starting to hit their peak now. This is going to be a cascade of effect. They are not, and who are they going to sell them to? I'll pay you cash for that. I'll give you $6,000 for this house that was $250,000. And they go, nope, you ain't going to get any more for it. You're not going to be able to sell it. Why aren't you doing it? You know, I don't know what they're going to do. But they are not in the real estate business. They're in the making money business. And if they think they can make money by, you know, buying all these houses, they'll wait and be the vultures sitting on there eating off the carcass, and they will wait until the time is right, and it's not right yet. What the list I'm going through, the reason I'm doing this is to understand just how bad it already is, and it's going to get a lot worse. If you think it's going to turn around and you be able to, you know, recoup the value in your home anytime soon, you're not. And I think people are starting to realize that. People that are starting to try and take advantage of the low prices now, what they're doing is they're going out, hey, man, it can't get any lower. Oh, yes, it can. I guarantee, I'm on record, man. Yesterday I was getting all worked up saying 20% median house values, what they are now, another 20% is going down. Guarantee it. You better start planning on it. So, in response to your question, you're right. They're into getting housing business, you know, to make money, but they don't want to own the property. They want to sell it.
Hey, thank you very much, guys.
You bet. Thanks, Don. 1-800-313-9443. Let's get back to the list. More than 24%, and we already did that one, U.S. commercial property values. We hadn't even got to the commercial property thing yet, okay? This is not even on the radar yet. And a lot of these insurance companies, oh, we're stable. We're stable because you know what? We invest in commercial real estate. You know, that's stable part of the economy. You know, we love you. We got resources and reserves that we have set aside for claims and so on because we put in the stable commercial property. Yeah. And it's down approximately 40% since 07. And currently 18% of all office space in the United States is sitting vacant. 18% that they admit to. Okay. Defaults on apartment building mortgages held by U.S. banks climbed to a record 4.6% in the first quarter of 10. That was almost twice the level of a year earlier. So we're done. It's starting to go. Here we're going. You know, think about it. You got an apartment building for sale? Are you going to get what you think you should have got a couple of years ago or what you paid for it a couple of years ago? Really? In 2009, U.S. banks posted their sharpest decline in private lending since 1942. Banks are going, man, they're going on. Why do you think the FDIC is taking over banks every weekend? But they can't afford to anymore. They don't have the money. The FDIC is broke. You know, insured deposits thing, where are they getting the money from? You know, more bailout. So what do? They're just not taking over the banks. Zombie banks. Just let the market take it. Just you'll declare bankruptcy. Everybody get, you know, go down and, you know, sell your silver you got in your bottom drawer and go buy a house somewhere. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. You know, people that are liquid, people that have cash, excuse me, people that have the ability with any money to go and buy property and land and so on. When this thing gets really bad, you are going to be king. What happens when you have $10,000 in precious metals or even cash? I wouldn't prefer cash. Let's say the current value now of $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. Oh, my goodness, $100,000. What's going to happen? Well, that will, because of inflation and so on, of course, that's going to go skyrocket. You know, silver will be, they tried to push it down the last couple of days, going right back up again. You know, they're going to do what? It's going to be, what, triple digits, you know, and for silver per ounce? You know, a gold, yeah, we remember back when it used to be four-digit gold. You know, then what? Oh, and at the same time, the property values plummet. All of a sudden, when you get government out of the way, you'll have what? 8 times, 10 times, 20 times purchasing power of what you have in precious metals now? You better get liquid, cash, precious metals, commodities, something. Because if you have that resources and you've set aside enough food and water and the ability to keep breathing in and out, and you're sitting in your little travel trailer camping on whatever, and you got your gold buried out somewhere, whatever, and you wait for the opportunity, and all of a sudden, boom! Yeah, I'm a rich SOB now. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And if you're listening to this show and you understand the information that's on, like LouRockwell.com, and this is on the site, this is on endoftheamericandream.com. That's where this story is. And it doesn't even have an author. I guess it's, you know, the publisher there just put it up. New York state has delayed paying bills totaling $2.5 billion as a short-term way of staying solvent. But officials are warning that its cash crunch could soon get even worse. And we're not paying the bills to who? What did California do? We're going to pay you an IOU. tax warrant. It's a whatever. It's an IOU. So you know what the business people, the vendors that worked with the government in California, know what they did? They said, fine. So we'll pay our taxes with your IOU. Here, get right back and take it off our tax. They go, oh, no, you can't do that. Really? I want to see the lawsuit on that one and what's going to happen. Now, their black-robed employees are going to tell them whatever they want to tell them. To make up for a projected 2010 budget shortfall of $280 million, Detroit, the city, issued $250 million of 20-year municipal notes in March. In the 2010 budget, they knew that they were going to be short $280 million. So what did they do? They issued $250 million of a 20-year municipal note. The bond issuance followed on the heels of a warning from Detroit officials that if its financial state didn't improve, it could be forced to declare bankruptcy. Who's buying these municipal bonds? Who's like, I want to buy in Detroit's debt? Who in the heck would do that? And what would they put up for collateral? Is there property? Is it? No. What is the collateral that municipalities put up for these bonds? They put up as collateral the ability, the promise, the threat of being able to extract it from the population in the form of taxes. That's what the whole basis of this thing. I'll tell you this little aside. You'll like this one. In the mid-90s, I was on, they had like Heidi Byrick, Southern Poverty Law Center, director of special projects. I'm her special project. You know, we're going to have her on the afternoon show tomorrow, but I got a scheduling conflict, so we're going to have her on next week. It'd be third, fourth time she comes on. And I remember I was on the list in 1994, top militia list, safe, Second Amendment is for everyone. In Arizona, it was a pack that we did, political pack for an initiative to do concealed carry. Well, just doing that put me on top of the Southern Poverty Law Center list, the very top, because it was Arizona, a state and the first one and had me. And I get Sheriff Arpaio calling me. He's going, Ernie, man, you're on top of the list. I'm like, woohoo, I made it, Yeah, big deal. Well, these guys, they, are all worried about, I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with this? Commercial property projected shortfall. Oh, yeah, shortfall. What happened was during all of that militia craze that they're going after everybody, we had a German television crew come in. We had a Japanese television crew. We had a national magazine in South Korea. And the whole thing, I'm like, what is the big deal about that? What do they care? And it finally came out in the Korean article. The whole reason that they had all, even, because George Bush daddy did read my lips, no new taxes. Then he did taxes. The militia thing starts coming up, the rising up. The taxpayers, hell no, we ain't going to take it no mo. Blah, 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 blah. We don't want to pay taxes. And because the debt was starting to really get it. This is after the SNL scandal thing. We needed, remember Perot in 92? Look at my chart. Can I finish? And, we're financing long-term debt with short-term high-interest treasuries and all this kind of, it was all predicted back then. Baby boomers are going to come. This conversation about what was going to happen now was happening 20 years ago. Everybody knew. Everybody knew what was going to happen. And he kept talking about it. Every election cycle, we gotta fix it. We gotta fix Social Security. We gotta fix this. We gotta fix that. Entitlement programs are gonna break the country. Blah 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 blah. And they never did anything about it. Well, they promised no new taxes. The Pacific Rim, a lot of these countries in Asia that had a lot of our debt, Germany, Japan, Korea, now China, they were going, we don't think America's got too many guns. You got to rise of the militia. All these people, tax protests and everything, they're complaining. We are not going to buy your debt because we think we're getting, America's going to go into revolution. Heck, they did in a freaking revolution against the British Empire over a freaking tea tax. You damn Skippy, we're worried. Amp up the fluoride or something. give them better bread and circuses, whatever it takes. But I mean, dang, so what'd they do? We just passed assault weapon ban. We passed more gun control. We were going to crank down on them. It was all a game. It was just to give them the appearance that they had, you know, the slaves under control. That's what it was all about. But what happened? Gun ownership skyrocketed. More people bought guns. More people got armed. What are they going to argue now? Huh? What? I don't know. Budget for shortfalls. What are they going to do? Nobody's going to buy the bonds because they can't get more money out of us. It's that simple.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yes! Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, yeah, we're just going over to... You know, I hope you're doing something. I don't know what, but I hope you're doing something to prepare yourself for what's coming. I don't know what else I can do. I mean, I'm not going to do it for you. I can guarantee you that. You know, I'm barely able to get ready myself. When things get a little bit more and we get a little bit of money and I go, Donna, you know, go buy more tuna fish. You know, I can live on tuna fish. You know, that's another thing. You don't want to go buy and stock up on stuff you're not going to eat. You know, I just, yuck. Ooh, yay. Let's, you know, I mean, that's just an emotional thing. But if I got, you know, some good freeze-dried whatever and staples that I can get, you know, I tell you one thing I like. Chili. I can live on chili. I want all the stuff to make chili. Give me the chili in a can, you know, the chili peppers in the can. Get me this, get me that, get the beans, and all I got to do is, add rabbit or chickens or something to it. Get some beef. Well, you know, the budget shortfalls, they are going to have to keep continuing to try and issue debt. Who is going to buy it based on what? It's going to be based on the municipality's ability to extract it from the people. Now they can do what Arizona's doing here, and they're selling freaking buildings. You know, they're selling assets. You know, I'm sure there's people going, ooh, I'd love to buy it. You know, I got the bill. I'll lease it back to you. Well, who's going to make the payment? Based on what? On their ability to extract the payment from the taxpayer. I mean, this is how you get Robin Hood kind of thing. You know, all the king's men is going to be going out doing the highwaymen thing. You know, that's why, you know, you do away with the cameras. You know, camerafraud.com here, they're doing away with the cameras. Now what? The same company is, you know, it's being bought up by another company, and they're going to try and take over the roads already in existence, turn them into toll roads. Yeah, we don't need to get a toll with a camera. We just, you know, get a booth. We'll just take it right up front. We don't take big chunks later. We take little chunks at the beginning of you getting on this road that you already paid for. I'm going, wow, wow. The National League of Cities says that municipal governments will probably come up between $56 billion and $83 billion short between now and 2012. $56 to $83 billion short. So where are they going to get that? They're trying to get it from the federal government. They're going, oh, can we have some mo? Can we have some more? Are they going to cut spending? They're being forced to now. I mean, it's been amazing that it took this long from the even, you know, think, well, we're not increasing the budget, or we're only increasing a little bit. I mean, where's the meat axe to the budget? And why not? What the heck? Half a dozen cash-poor U.S. states have announced that they are delaying their tax refund checks. Oh, there's a morale builder for you. Two university professors recently calculated that the combined unfunded pension liability for all 50 states, U.S. states, is $3.2 trillion. Unfunded pension liability. You know what that means? The retirement that they were promised and counting on, their unions did, and we got, and we're going to live forever and always after, and we only work 20 years, and I'm retired at 45 from the, you know, the Santa Fe Police Department, and I get 80, 90% of my pay. Guess what? No, you're not. It's all over. I mean, and we got 20 more of these to go. You know, we only got through 30 of the 50. Go to freedomsphoenix.com, look at the top, it's today on Lou Rockwell, June 22nd, and you'll see this. You know, are we there yet? I don't know. We're dang close. Got chickens? Take care of yourself. Buy some food. I insist that you survive this thing. Go get ready. I'll talk to you later.